If you're already sitting and you're ready, open up to Matthew chapter 1 this morning. We're going through Genesis here on Sunday mornings, and the next section of scripture is where Abraham decides to leave Haran after the death of his father and goes into Canaan, the land that God had showed him to go into. And once he got there, he got a little freaked out by a famine and goes down into Egypt. And I thought, well, I don't know if that's a good Christmas message. Thought we'd maybe skip that for next week, which will be a great message concluding the year next Sunday. So come on out and we'll continue through Genesis. This morning I would bring your attention to Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 18. We're going to read through verse 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. That's called honor. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And so all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. And then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took him his wife and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Lord, we come to you this morning and ask that you'd speak to us. Lord, whenever we gather together, there's two things that take place. Whenever we open your word together, Lord, you speak to me individually, you speak to each of us individually, and you speak to us as a fellowship, Lord, as a group. We are one body in you. So again, we ask for that miracle that you've been so faithful to do here on Sundays, where you speak to us individually and as a church. Lord, we want to find ourselves associating with you. We want to find our identity hidden in you, Lord Jesus, kept by you. Be upon us in your spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, that's what a name is, really. It's an identity and an association. I'm Chris Blostone, and there's only one Chris Blostone I know of in the entire world, and it's me. Now, some of you might have common names, you know, Jeff Smith or something, and, you know, well, we don't have any Jeff Smiths here today, I don't think. Does anybody have a really common name where you just know there's people named like you? No? One of you? Yeah? Yeah? Is it? What's your name? What last name? Cargill? And there's more than one? Yeah, right. Exactly. So we don't really know who you are. But isn't that interesting? You know, when you have a really different name like mine, Blostone. You know there's only one Blostone family in the entire U.S., and if you run into another Chris Blostone, you're talking to me. But there's some crazy names out there. You know, sometimes people have first names that are like their mom's maiden names. Anybody know someone like that? Or you know someone whose their name is their grandfather's name or their grandmother's name, and usually with multifaceted meanings, a junior, a third. I've always thought that was kind of interesting. I don't think I'd want to name my son Chris Blostone Jr. Because what do you call him? CJ. We should have named Nathan CJ. That would have been Chris Jr. I don't know. Bible names. We've got a few Bible names in the fellowship, right? Names like Benaiah, Micah, Moriah. Wow, that's all in one family. De Leon might as well just be a Bible name. Elisha, right? Hannah, Selah, Joshua, Nathaniel, Zach. Bible names. And the reason as parents we choose those is because, well, for many of us, it was vision. We prayed and said, Lord, what do you have for my child? And this vision that the Lord gives a parent for them, and you pray over them. You know, there's not a lot of Jezebels out there. People aren't praying and saying, Lord, I just really believe you're going to make her a Jezebel. But it makes you wonder sometimes in the world what parents are thinking. Now, my name is Christopher Robert. Robert is my father's name, Bob Robert. So I'm Christopher Robert. But my understanding, and this was the story that was told to me my whole life, and I'm going to believe it forever, is that my parents were contemplating naming me Christopher Robin from Winnie the Pooh. And when I was older, I realized, thank you for not naming me Christopher Robin. But as a kid, I thought that would have been awesome. Christopher Robin, I could have had my Winnie the Pooh lunch cake, you know, pail or whatever, and gone to school and gotten beat up. But there are some crazy names out there. There's a man and a woman had a child, named their child Facebook. Did you know that? There's another family. 2012, they named their daughter Hashtag. Now, that's called name change when you're of age. You know, that was really funny, Mom and Dad. I'm going to change my name. There's probably the most growing or most popular as far as growth names right now are two names, Khaleesi and Suki. Now, I don't know who these characters are, but they're from very questionable TV shows, and they're the undesirable character in the show. Could you imagine having a name, Khaleesi, and you grow up, well, what do you name? Oh, my parents were into this TV show, and it's really kind of gross, and I just, you know, that's my name. Those are like the most popular names that are growing, at least, in our nation. I wouldn't say the most popular, but the ones that are growing more and more. Beyonce and Jay-Z had a daughter. You know what her name is? Blue Ivy. Probably only one Blue Ivy in the world. And there's a lot of meaning for them behind that name. The one that really gets me is Jermaine Jackson's son, Jermajesty. Just eventually, name change. You just change your name. And as a young boy, I mean, you grow up, your name sounds just like Her Majesty. I mean, it's like, was he thinking that through? I don't know. But names carry meaning in the Bible. God assigns names, and he changes names. Interesting. God assigns names. He comes to Abraham and Sarah and says, I want you to name your son Isaac, which means laughter. Now, it's interesting when you read the story, and we'll get there in Genesis. Name him Isaac because you're going to laugh when I tell you what's going to happen. Your wife, Sarah, is going to bear a child. They had already given up on the idea of Sarah bearing children, and Abraham had taken her advice and had a child through Hagar, their servant. And again, we'll talk about that. But Ishmael, and God says, nope, that's not my plan. My plan was through Sarah, and you're going to laugh when you hear this. She's going to have a child a year from now, and she starts laughing in the tent. And the Lord says, why'd you laugh? She goes, I didn't laugh. Well, then name him liar. I don't know. But, you know, she laughed, and she was afraid to admit it. So you're going to name your child Laughter. And when she gives birth, she laughs and says, everyone's going to call me blessed. And so there's a purpose in God naming people. Isaiah the prophet, his name means the Lord is salvation. And he has children, and God tells him to name his firstborn son Jashub. Shir Jashub, it means the remnant shall return. Kind of a hope for the nation of Israel. The remnant shall return. He knew judgment was coming. His next son, and this is the one from the prophecy that referred to here in Matthew, the virgin shall be with child, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. He then turns to Isaiah and says, Isaiah, I want you to name your son Maher Shalal Hashbaz. If you're looking for, you know, children's names, there's a good one. Maher Shalal Hashbaz, and it means speed the spoil, or really, judgment is coming quickly. So, Isaiah's name, God is salvation. Judgment is coming quickly is one of his sons, and the remnant shall return is his other son. And in chapter 8 of Isaiah, he says this, here I am, and the children you've given me, we are for signs and wonders in Israel. Their names, by the way, if you came on Wednesday nights through the minor prophets, you heard this probably 100 times. Isaiah and his children's names are a sign for the nation of Israel. It's basically an outline to carry you through the prophecy of the Old Testament. The major themes of the prophets in the Old Testament are God is our Savior, He's going to judge the world, and the remnant will be saved. So those three things we would just look through the prophets, all wrapped up in the fact that God names people. Hosea the prophet, he was told, you're going to be an example of the way I treat my people, so I want you to go marry a harlot. And he married a harlot and brought her home, and the Lord said, and as they're having children, he says, now I'm going to have her leave you, and I want you to go find her after she leaves you for other men back into harlotry. And he finds her there as a slave on the slave block to be sold. And the Lord says, I want you to buy her back to yourself. And he says, because this is what I'm going to do to the nation of Israel. I've called them to be my own, but they went after other gods. And after they do that, I'm going to bring them back. The remnant shall be saved, remember? I'm going to bring them back and they will be my own. So when they start having kids, their first kid, he says, name him Jezreel, because the city of Jezreel is guilty and I'm going to judge them. I guess that'd be like naming your son Francisco or San Francisco. And then someone says, why'd you name him that? Because God's going to judge San Francisco. That would be kind of a heavy conversation at that point. Son, come here. The reason, but that's what God told Hosea to name his son, Jezreel, because I'm going to judge that city for its wickedness, and your son's going to be a name for that. Then they have two more kids, Lo-Ruhamah, and her name meant no mercy. No mercy. Come here, no mercy, time for lunch. The next child, Lo-Ami, it meant not my people. That's their kids' names. So you're calling them in the house, city that's going to be destroyed, come on in. No mercy, come on, not my people, get in here. Interesting, but God did it so their family would be a sign to the nation of Israel. And so he says in Hosea, you were once my people, but now you're no longer my people. Lo-Ruhamah and Lo-Ami, you're no longer my people, you no longer have my mercy. But one day you will be Ruhamah, you will be Ami. You will be the ones that I show my mercy to and my people. John the Baptist was named by the Lord. The angel Gabriel came to Zechariah and said, you're going to have a son and you're going to name him John. And he goes, that's impossible. He goes, well, you shouldn't have said that. I'm Gabriel. I stand before God. Now you're going to be mute, which means he's deaf. He can't hear. He can't talk. He's left to scratching on tablets for communicating until the child is born. Now the name John was not in his family at all. And when the child was born, they're saying, what do you want to name your child? And he says, John, scribbles it out on a tablet and says, John. And the mother says, John. And they're like, why would you name him John? And then his voice came back and he just praised God. Because God had said, you're going to name your son John, which means God is gracious. He brought John the Baptist in the spirit and the power of Elijah to have mercy, to usher in the Messiah. So his name is going to be God is Gracious. It's not your decision, it's my decision. I'm your God, I'm naming your son. I like that. I like that God assigns names, and I like the fact that God changes names. Abram means father. When he called him, he says, I'm going to change your name to Abraham. He adds the breath, the H, the father of many. His wife Sarai probably meant princess. Changes it to Sarah, means the princess of many, because he had made them a promise that I'm going to make a great nation of you. Jacob means deceiver. His name was changed to Israel, which means prevailing with God or governed by God. So God changed his name because Jacob the deceiver became one that was living for God and submitted to God. Remember Simon Peter? Simon, it means heard. Jesus came to Simon and said, your name has been Simon, but I'm going to name you Peter. God changed his name. Jesus changed his name from Simon, heard, to Peter, the rock, because you've established your faith upon me, the rock, so I'm going to name you the rock. I like the fact that God changes names. Guess what, Christian? He promises to change your name. He does. So what's in a name? Identity, association. My name's Chris Blostone, so my identity, Chris, but my last name, Blostone, is the family I'm with. So if you meet another Blostone, you know they're related to me. So that's my association, is the Blaustone family. They're going to be here for Christmas. Please pray for me. No, I love my family. I'm thrilled that we're doing this. But it's the association that we have. Now, for some of you, you know, jokingly, but some of you, that might not be great news. I met a man once, his last name, you might know him, Kelsey. And I said, really? So like Kelseyville? And he goes, yeah, and Native Americans don't really like me that much when they find out my last name. It wasn't a pretty history with Kelseyville up in there in Lake County. And all of his relatives were back with the Kelseys that made Kelseyville. So it's interesting. Some of those things, they kind of carry some weight with them, you know. So I love the fact that God assigns names. I love the fact that God changes names to show his purposes and his grace and his salvation. Moses chose Hosea, another Hosea. Hoshea actually was his name. It means salvation, to be his replacement. And he said, I'm changing your name, though, from salvation, Hoshea, to Jehovah is my salvation, which is Yah, Jehovah, Yah, Hoshea, which is Yahshua, Joshua. So Joshua's name, who led the children of Israel into the promised land, was a combination of Hoshea, salvation, and Jehovah, Yahshua, which in Greek is what? Jesus. And so here in our text, you shall call his name Jesus, really, is Joshua. The Lord is salvation. Jehovah is salvation. Jehovah Shua. When God revealed himself to Moses, he said, Moses said, what is your name so that I can tell the nation of Israel who the God is that's sending me to you? And he said, why do you ask about my name? Basically, he said, well, I am that I am. Tell them that. Tell them I am that I am sent you. So what the Jewish people did is they took that and they made an acronym out of it, YHWH in English, and you can't pronounce that. Without any vowel sounds, you have no way, it's just breath. So we borrow the vowel sounds from other words for Lord and God and insert them in to come up with Yahweh or Jehovah. But it's just those four letters. YHWH was the way that God revealed himself, and because they so respected the name of God, they never pronounced it for us. They never wrote down the vowel sound, so we have no idea how to pronounce it. We're just guessing. Matter of fact, if you grab a Hebrew Bible today, it will not say YHWH in the Hebrew text. I'm sorry, the Hebrew Bible. It won't say that. It'll say Hashem, the name. If you go to Israel with us, we're going to sing, Baruch Hashem Adonai, blessed be the name of the Lord, Hashem. Amen. The holy name of God. We're just going to say the name because they so reverenced his name. God revealing himself in a name really reveals his character. It reveals his nature, everything about him. I am that I am, the existent one. I become everything that you need when you turn to me. I am, he says. And so his name, I am that I am, Jehovah, Yahweh. We'll see in Genesis when Hagar is put away by Abraham and Sarah because it was not God's plan to have Hagar and Ishmael as part of the promises. She is kicked out actually by Sarah and she's broken in the middle of nowhere. And God shows up and says, it's okay, I'm going to take care of you. I see you. I see you, Hagar. Hagar, you're not alone. I'm with you. I'm going to bless your life. And you know what she says? The Lord Jehovah is, and she names him, you are the God who sees, Elroy. Jehovah is Elroy, the God who sees me. Now that's just amazing to me. That someone had an experience with the Lord and named him by that experience. You're the God who sees me. I'm going to call you that. Yeah, I met the God who sees me. I love that. Have you ever given a name to God? I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about Jehovah Saber, which is the Lord my hope. But there's a lot of names for God throughout the Bible. When Abraham was getting ready to offer his son Isaac on the altar, Isaac said, where's the sacrifice? And he said, the Lord will provide, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. when they were in the wilderness and they went to a pool to get water and it was bitter, and they complained to Moses and said, "We're dying of thirst here and the water's bitter. We would die if we drank it. What do we do?" He took a tree and put it in, and it made the bitter water sweet. And he said, "Jehovah Rapha, the Lord is our healer. He has healed the waters." And they drank. Beautiful picture of the cross of Christ, right? They came into the land as they were defeating the enemies, as they were getting ready to come into the land. Moses said, "The Lord is our banner, Jehovah Nissi. He's our victory, our banner." Gideon, when the Lord appeared to him, he gave a sacrifice to the Lord, and the Lord says this, "Peace be with you." And he said, "You are the God of peace, Jehovah Shalom." Gave him that name. Of course, David in Psalm 23, "The Lord my shepherd, Jehovah Ra'ah." In Jeremiah, "The Lord, his name will be this, the Lord righteousness, Jehovah Tsidkenu." I think I'm saying that right. Ezekiel the prophet, when he was seeing the future city at the end of the age, said it will be named Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. And then in Revelation 21 and 22, it says the name of the city will be Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. I like that. I want to live in that house, right, in that city. Where do you live? Where the Lord is. Yeah, I like that. A lot of times names are labels. Joel said this, "Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." I'm going to read to you, if you want to turn there, it's a very familiar passage, Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. This is one of the first verses that I was told to memorize in the Bible. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. We're going to read through verse 13, follow along. Verse 9 of Romans 10, "If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." As people got saved in the book of Acts, chapter 2, they said, "What should we do that we might be saved?" And he says, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. As they were preaching after they had been found out, as they were followers of Jesus, they said this, "There's no other name given under heaven by which we must be saved but the name of Jesus." The name of Jesus is the name by which mankind is saved. Matter of fact, after they were beaten for speaking in his name, they went back to the church and they said, "Praise God, we've been allowed to suffer for Hashem, the name of Jesus." The name of Jesus, "you shall call his name Jesus." And so Joseph called his name Jesus, Jehovah Shua, the Lord our salvation. Now here's what's amazing. When you find any description, name of God, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is our peace. Well, Jesus, through the cross and the resurrection, has made peace between man and God. He is our peace that has broken down every wall. Jesus says, "I am," what? "The good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep," Jehovah Raha. "Righteousness, he who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him," Jehovah Tsidkenu. "Healer, by his stripes we are healed," the Lord our healer. "Jehovah Jireh, our provider," the Lord provides himself the sacrifice. Beautiful picture there of Jesus Christ. I love the book of Genesis, by the way. I'm going to have so much fun finishing that book with you because there's so many pointers to the Messiah and what he's done for us in God. And it's wrapped up in this, the name of Jesus. Now, I was into New Age religion and stuff before I gave my life to Christ, but I thought I had found God. But when God that day showed up and said, "I'm Jesus," I felt like Paul on the road to Damascus. "I've been serving you, trying to find you and pushing you away at the same time, because the name of Jesus was embarrassing. I didn't want that name. I wanted something better, something that was more suited to my personality. I decided to make God in my own image and what I thought was cool and awesome. And then God shows up and he's awesome and he says, "You're rejecting me." And it just proved how much I needed the name of Jesus. God is my Savior, not me. Praise God that we've been given his name to be saved. And so he quotes in the verse, "You shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us." With us is God. Let me ask you something. I'm not going to keep you long this morning. What name do you take? Remember, a name is identity and association. What name do you take? What do you believe to be true about yourself and about God and the promises he's made you? We do a ministry over at the Senior Living. We'll do it a few weeks from now after the new year. But it's a blast. We go, we had the De Leon kids there and they did the silent night thing and read scripture. And Elisha read a verse. He's two. I couldn't speak English when I was two. That's just amazing to me. But it was just great. But what we do every time when we do that is we go around and introduce ourselves again to the group that's there, and we have them introduce themselves. Now, the first service that we do is in the skilled nursing facility, and so there's a lot of issues and there's a lot of noise, and we'll go around and, "What's your name, Fred?" Right? And "What's your name?" And we go around and we introduce ourselves, and it takes quite a while. And sometimes you come to that one person, it's like, "And what's the name of the person next to you?" Because they've fallen asleep since we started names. And someone will, and usually the nurse helps us out and says, you know, the name for us. And so we go around. Then we head over to the memory clinic, which is there's some memory problems with the clients that are there in that place. And we do church again, and we do the same thing. We go around and we ask their names. And without fail, there's someone that's asleep. And we'll say, "What's your name? What's the name of the person next to you?" And they just look and smile. Like, "Are you talking to me?" It's great. They're such wonderful people. And we'll say, the nurse will say, "Fran," and we'll go, "Fran," and she'll look and say, "Yes, okay, so your name is Fran," and we'll go on like this. And there was a man sitting next to me this last Tuesday, and I said, "And what's your name?" And he said, "Poral." And I went, I couldn't hear him, and I said, "I'm sorry, can you speak up? What was your name?" He says, "Poral." And I said, "That doesn't sound familiar. Am I not hearing you correctly?" And the nurse says, "His name is Chuck." And he goes, "Well, that's my first name, Poro, because they always call me Poor Old Chuck." Now, that taught me something. See, I thought he was just clueless and wasn't paying attention and, you know, memory was shot or something. No. He was very aware of what was going on in the room. And when it came to him, he's like, "I'm going to get him with a good joke." He's sharp, man. He got me. I'll never forget his name again. Poro. Love it. Church, listen up. God's made you promises. He's promised to change your name, give you a new name. And I want you to read the verses with me, and then I'm going to challenge you with a couple things. So it's in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. I'm sure when we went through Revelation 2 and 3, I mentioned this, and I probably mention it a lot. I love these passages. The first one is chapter 2, verse 17 of Revelation. As he's exhorting the churches, there's seven churches, and each one, he says, "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches." So the message is to everyone. And he says this in verse 17, "To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, praise the Lord, and I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it." God's going to give you a brand new name, a heavenly name. Turn over to chapter 3 in verse 12. "He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God." That's a way of saying you're going to stay forever. "And he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down from heaven, from my God, and I will write on him my new name." Now check that out. He gives you a new name written in stone so you don't forget about it. A white stone, speaking of your righteousness, declared innocent in Christ by the blood of Christ. And then he writes on you the name of God, the name of the city of his God and his new name that he receives. So let's go back to this. A name is identity and association. When we are in glory, we are given a new identity in Christ, and we have that identity now. The Bible says this, that your identity is hidden in God in Christ. So really, I guess I have two identities. It's like having two mailboxes. If you have one at your house and you have one for your business downtown or something, you have your P.O. box, there's two different places that you can receive your mail. Well, in your life, believer, you have two identities. Yes, you're a sinner. We are sinners saved by the grace of God. That's my identity. But guess what? When I come before the Lord in glory, that is no longer who I am. It's who I was. Right now, we have the hope of that salvation, and we are declared righteous because we've placed our faith in the grace of God, and the grace of God says this, you are in Christ, and you now not have your own righteousness. You have the righteousness of God in me. Now, that's incredible. And that's the way we're to view ourselves now. What name do you go by? The idea is this. We're to place our hope in our Savior. And our identity is hidden in him. And you hear me say this a lot. If you choose to just forget that, you'll get lost in your identity here. And you'll be this. A sinner saved. And the saved gets smaller and smaller print. Some little four-point font. And sinner becomes this 24-point bold, underlined, highlighted sinner saved. How do you live? Well, you know, I just fail a lot. You know, I can't ever get past my failures. Okay, I'm with you. There's days that's what it is for me. There's days where I walk around and people are homeless. They've got cancer, not long to live. They've lost family members over a short period of time, and they're broken, and I'm, gritting my teeth because I bit my mouth sore. Chris, how you doing? Oh, I got this mouth sore. Guess what? I have no problems. When I look at my life, I have no problems. But if I choose to forget my identity in Christ, I can make my identity me, this sinner. And God says, no, Chris, that's not you. You are hidden in Christ. There's a hope. That's why I think maybe Jehovah... I forgot the name I gave God already. That was not good. Jehovah Saber, the Lord my hope. I think that's what I'm going to go for. Ponder that for a while. Pray it in. The Lord is my hope. Absolutely my living hope through the resurrection of Christ from the dead. My identity is hidden in him. And when we hold on to that identity in Christ, we're safe. We're safe. Here's the other side of a name, though. It's an association. You are part of God and his family. He doesn't just say, okay, I've given you a new nature, so kind of stay out of my way, okay? There's heaven's big, I've got a lot to do. No, he writes his name on you. You see, you are associated with God. The promise of glory is that he's going to keep you and that you belong to him. And in that association, you belong with him. He enjoys you. Now and forever. That's the power of what God does when he gives us this promise of having a new name. All of it because we've called on the name of the Lord Jesus and we're saved. Jesus, Jehovah Shua, the Lord our Savior, is the Lord my Savior. He's the Lord your Savior. So my challenge to you is this. Are you living in his name, the Lord my Savior? Are you living in that place, the Lord my hope, the Lord my peace, the Lord my righteousness, the Lord my shepherd? When you live in his name, it shows. It's like a label that we wear. It shows, and people see his name in our lives. Now, you might think, Chris, how is that possible? I don't know. It's an incredible mystery how someone can look at me and see Jesus. But I didn't come up with that idea. God did. He says this, if you take my name, I will write my name upon you. You will now show my glory, and somehow people meet Jesus through my life. And I want that to be so. So I pray, God, reveal yourself through my life. Praise God for that. It actually shows when we live for Jesus, when we live in his name. It empowers me. I have incredible confidence in Christ because his name. I've taken his name on. That's my identity. That's my association. I'm submitted to him. And so others see Christ in me, and I have this incredible confidence because it's Jesus. It's his name, not mine. And there's something else that happens when we live in his name. It shows, it empowers, but it delivers. It delivers. Now you might think, yeah, you're right, Chris. We need a deliverer. He is our deliverer. Yes, but I mean something a little differently. It delivers. In the end, God delivers the goods. We have placed our hope in the name of Jesus to be saved. And God promises this. In the end, that name will be upon your life. Brand new nature. Perfect character. Finished work. You'll be glorified in my presence. Signed by me. Sealed by me, delivered by me. Would you stand with me, please? Last night we were at Lytton Springs. We do ministry there once a month, the guys and myself. And one of the guys in our group said he'd been religious his whole life. And he was in his late 30s, I believe. And he said he'd been at church his whole life with his wife and kids and everything. And he had gotten into drugs again. He'd been delivered from that and gotten back into them. Was, you know, in rehab here in Lytton Springs. And he said, but, I went to church my whole life, but I never really knew Jesus until now. And he started to share some things that God had showed him about being in the Word, about making sure the Word of God was written on his heart, and he would stay in the Word, and the hope of Scripture was his life, and Jesus was his life. And it was so beautiful to see, because, you know, religion doesn't save us. Coming to church doesn't save us. Living a right life doesn't save us. Jesus saves us. He saves us. Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you that we can be here in this place. And we want to be a witness for you, especially this week, Lord, when others are hearing the same songs that we're hearing in the stores, when others hear about your gospel once again, in the cards that we've sent them, in the scriptures that are being proclaimed. So we ask, Lord, that you would bring in a harvest. Use us, Lord, as a witness to our families and to our friends of your name, Lord Jesus, given to us for our salvation. Lord, truly you are our Savior. We thank you for today. In Jesus' name, amen.